Okay, 4:12, the Pasuk Zayin. Vayoyimu ish el re'ehu l'chuvra pilugarolais. There is a storm, there is a sakana. They recognize that their lives are in danger. So what do? They all start crying, they all start praying to their gods. And then they see Yonah, the Rav HaMalachim, the captain of the ship, recognized that this fellow Yonah, he is going down to the bottom of the ship, and he's not interested. They bring him up, and then they cast lots. Let us cast lots. Veneda, let us know, Bishalami. Who is the cause? Bishalami. That's a very unique word. Combines many words together. I wonder if that word appears anywhere else in Tanakh. Bishalami. We can probably take that word and break it up into a few words. But here we have one word called Ohazoisalanu. Who is the cause of this evil that has befallen us? Vayapilu gorolois de keslats vayipol ha gorol al yoina. And the lot falls on Yonah. Okay, so I believe we were in the middle of the Malbim. Okay, the Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin, let's take a look at the Malbim Pasuk Zayin. Mehoy ho'itza b'hatolos ha'gorolos. In fact, did we finish up the Radak? Yeah, we did. Did we? Let me sit here. Let's do the Radak. I don't think we finished the Radak. If not, we'll just chazer very quickly. Pasuk Zayin in the Radak. Vayomu l'chuvin apilu garolos yesh lo tumaya. Bezo'in ve'ich choshu ki bavur anshe ho'iniya ha'zayis ha'yasar godl bayom. V'chilo ho'yu aniya yisacheroyis bayom. Were they the only ones? V'chi kol ho'niya sh'yesh lohem sar bayom apilu ma'noshech ha'garolos v'shol mi ho'ra'ah. Is there anyone else? All of the other neighboring ships, they also must have been in a very dangerous situation, and why? Why did they?
This wasn't the normal course of action.
Right. So we learned this last week. But Sasi Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer Ulam Amorich, we quoted this. We learned the Chazal inside, in fact, last week. And bo alehem sar gadol bayam umiminam umisvelam kol haniyos ayvos v'shavos b'shalom b'shtikus hayam. Okay, so we learned that everyone else had safe passage. All of the neighboring ships on the right and on the left passed through the sea without any problem. It was only they. So they therefore this was a hashkocha pratis. The haniyos yored bayoyna b'tzara gedoyla shechishva lihishaver amru. B'shalemi horo hazais lanu, b'asher lemi horo hazais lanu, neida b'asher lemi horo hazais lanu, b'avur, which means b'avur mihu, since we have been singled out. If this is something which happens to the entire world, and we are not unique, then, that's our fate. But being that we have been singled out for this calamity, it must be there's something special about something about us, to someone on this boat, that is the cause of this evil, and it must be Yonah. It must be someone, and let's now cast lots. Let's see the Malbim. Malbim Pasuk Zayin Mehoy Ha'itza B'Hatolos HaGarolos, the bottom of the Malbim. What was the purpose of casting lots? Haloy HaGarol B'Hechreach Yipol Alecha Mehem. The Eich Yivarar Bozeh Shehu HaChoyte. Who made this complaint? Who said exactly this? Ochon. Achon said to Yehoshua, you coming to cast lots? If we would make a lottery between me and you, and the lottery would fall on you, does that mean that you're guilty? So you'll say, of course not. I didn't do anything wrong. So me also, just because I was selected, why does it indicate that I am the cause of this tzara? Someone must be selected. So in other words, he's touching up your upon. The way the Malbim phrases his question touches upon a very powerful question regarding a lottery. And that is, in a lottery, if you really want to make a fair lottery, there has to be an option where no one is guilty. Take a lottery, there are 10 people in the room, and we want to make a lottery that's min hashamayim, someone here is going to be selected. So what you really should do is have 11 options, 11 pieces of paper, and one piece of paper is blank. That way, there's an option, Hashem is saying, no one is guilty. No one. I don't want here to hold anyone accountable for this event.
Oh, so it's like sort of like in a scientific experiment,
yeah, control group.
Right. It's not fair. Yeah. Someone has to be selected, which it's so. What's the purpose of ever casting a lottery? If you want to say that there's something significant, that there's a problem, and Hashem, we want to single out one person to Hashgacha Pratis, you have to give an option for Hashem, an option out, where no one will be selected. So the fact that you cast the lottery where it's like every single person is included, and someone is going to be selected, that questions the validity if there's really anything significant about the lottery. So in a chanami, why don't we do that? Why indeed? I don't know. Like Haman, we discussed this last week. There are two different lotteries in Chazal. You came with four different lotteries.
That was to get two lotteries to come. Right. Aside.
So that was the other solution. The other solution was
lottery like that with the 70 Sanhedrin. And there were 72 lots.
Exactly, there were 72 members from the Shvatim. They took from each Shevet
six,
and 6 times 12 is 72. So it has to be there are going to be two people who are not going to be selected, and Eldad Umedad. They were the ones who were not selected. So the question again: every lottery, if you have this, the fifth lottery, very good. There's a fifth. We have now a total of 5 lotteries in Chazal. We have, as we view, we have the most famous one is Haman, and then we have Eretz Yisrael, Al Pi Agol Techole Kanachla. We mentioned about the Asura Haruge Malchus, the Churm began with a lottery, and we have here Yonah's lottery, and the lottery you just mentioned of Eldad Umedad, where they were left out selecting the members of the Sanhedrin. So I don't know the answer to this question, but why did we spoke about the lottery of Haman? We said in order to prove that it's correct, he according to many of the commentators, he did two separate lotteries, a lottery for the months and a lottery for the days. From the he numbered pieces of paper 1 through let's say 365, and a second lottery 1 through 12, and he cast two lots, and if the two lots would coincide, if he picked up in the numbers 1 through 12, number 2, and on the other lottery picked up number 45, he knows it's Min HaShamai, because day 45 falls in month number 2. If you would take out of the second collection number 300 and pick out number 3, you know something is wrong, because number 3 has to be between 60 and 90, cannot be number 300. Why do you even need that? Why can't you do something just very simple and have 366 pieces of paper? And if you have 366 pieces of paper, so there's a possibility that nothing will be picked. If nothing will be picked, that goes to show that this whole thing is nonsense. And yet, a day is picked. So obviously, it must then be, I mean, on that example, that it's much more, statistically speaking, in the rules of statistics, it's much more, it doesn't mean anything. Just because you have in the collection of numbers a blank, it still doesn't necessarily mean anything, because there's still a possibility, because just statistically, what are the chances that someone real will be selected? I guess having two separate lotteries and they coincide one with the other is much more significant, even though it's not bulletproof. It's not an absolute that this is correct. But anyway, he asks this question over here, general question: what is the proof of you cast the lottery? V'ech yivur ha-bozeh shu ha-choyte v'alo yuchal liyoy sha-ha-sa'ar ba b'shvil kulam. Maybe the storm is coming because everyone on this ship is a sinner. It's not fair. The second question that we learned last week as well, why is written Loshon Rabim? Uvichol Mokam Yomar Hipil Goyrol Beloshon Yochid. And then it concludes at the end of the pasuk Beloshon Yochid, who mi gohagoyrol Yochid who b'mishpato. Who is the Yochid that is deserving of punishment? So that is the question, the hakdama to his parish. Now pasuk Zayin Vayomer, he explains Vayomer Ish L'Rehu Achar Kach Hiskimu Lahapil Goyrolo Shal Yidei Ze Yedu B'Shalami Haru Hazois. Upeirushoi sheapilu gorolois rabois ze achar ze ein hachinami multiple gorolois shemachei toli b'kulam yipol agorol b'chol pam al ish acher v'oz yedu ki kulam chayavim. They cast many, many lots. And if they get a sense that each lottery is someone else is selected, so I guess either it means nothing or it means they're all guilty. So this is a sign min hashamayim. If they're going to cast the lottery 25 times, and every time Yonah is selected, this is a clear-cut indication that he is the guilty party. Now he says something which is really explosive. Okay, this is changes the entire story. The entire Sefer Yonah now changes because of what he just said. The purpose of the lottery was not necessarily to select the person who is guilty, but there is a person on this ship who knows why. Maybe everyone is guilty. Maybe one person is guilty. The goal of casting the lottery is to discover the cause. This person knows the reason. That changes the, that's a much more powerful lottery than who's guilty. Just because we know who's guilty, how is that going to save us? We're going to throw him overboard? Is that going to solve the problem? Not necessarily. Maybe when the person dies, the problem will get even worse. But if we can find the reason, the cause for the problem, then there's something that we can do to solve the problem. And that's exactly what he says. Rakshu ish, we're going to select through the lottery the man, hayodeya mi hachayav, who is guilty, or umahu hasibah lehara. The gamze nichlal bima she'amru. And he reads this interpretation, this idea. He's not just saying things out of nowhere. He's coming to tell us the pshat in the pasuk. And this is something which is incredible, especially Yom Kippur, by Mincha. It's not just enough to say, no, chatosi, avisi, poshati. V'nei de'a, he's reading this with extra words. Let us know, b'shelemi hora'a hazois. The person, we turn now to the next page 415, the person, hahu she'olav nafal ha'goyrol, o she'hora'a bishviloi, either he's the cause, o she'hu yoideya, v'yoideya, he knows, and he will let it be known, b'shelemi hora'a. Who is the cause? As we started today, this word bishalami is a very strange word. None of us would select this word to inject.
Sounds like a very modern word.
Yeah, exactly. It's a word which it's not
what
when.
What should do?
It does. You'd be putting together whatchamacallit, right? Like whatchamacallit? Whatchamacallit? Yeah, that candy bar still exists. You're putting together too many words in one word. So the Malvum.
What words?
What?
Which words?
Bavur, shell, me. Three words, at least. That's for starters. Bavur, shell, me. Those are three Hebrew words, and here we have a new word, bishelami. We're not familiar with this expression. Because of that, the Malbim picks up bishvil me, bavur, shell, me. It's not a word that we are familiar with. Bishelami, like whatchamacallit. So the Malbim is picking up on this, and he's telling us in Enochinami, this word here means to tell us that they're not looking for the guilty party. They're looking for a person who understands what is happening and can tell us the reason, the cause of what is occurring, so that we can take action and repair the damage. That may mean there's a guilty person who has to be killed. That may mean that there's an avera that we're all guilty of, we need to do teshuva. It can mean a million things. But their insight, their depth of what they're trying to do is not just, okay, we'll cast lots, we're going to throw someone off the ship, finished. That's shallow. It's a shallow way to look at the world. And it's especially, we have to appreciate that everything that we're reading, we're learning, Chazal selected to be read at the most critical moment of our lives. Yom Kippur before Ne'ilah. When the gates of Shemayim are about to close. It's a moment of desperation to do teshuvah, last chance to pray to Hashem for survival. And this is a very powerful message at that moment in time, saying it's not just enough to say, I did an Avera and Hashem, please forgive me. It is essential to understand the cause, the reason why you did the Avera. Where did you go wrong in life? What situation did you put yourself which let and allowed, nurtured you to come to the point where you did an Avera? If you want to go forward on a positive note, you have to repair the cause of the damage and take precautions. It's not just enough, okay, we have identified evil and let's destroy it. Who says next year you're not going to be standing here and with the same exact problem? You just can't cure the symptoms. You have to cure the disease. B'shelemi, he is an unusual expression by telling us who is the person, Oshahara Bishvili, Oshahu Yodea Vyodia. It's a very beautiful expression. He knows and will let it be known. Bishalami Horaoh. Visiper, ki pilugorelois rabbis of Hopam, Novel Hagorel Alyona, Lo Al Zulase. Okay, so that is how his take on this pasuk. He has opened it up wide. He's told us don't ignore the fact that there are four extra words. V'neida'ah, b'shalami horo hazois. We have an unusual word, b'shalami. We have here also the expression goyrolois, and it begins with goyrolois and ends with the word goyrol. And we take all of this together, and he paints an entirely new picture what exactly happened on this ship. They cast lots multiple times. Every single time it fell on Yonah. Number two, and that was a clear indication that he is the person that needs, person of interest. You ever listen to the news? They don't say that this person is the suspect. They're searching high and low for so-and-so. He is a person of interest. Person of interest in this crime. Who was the person of interest? Yonah. Yonah was not the suspect. Yonah was the person of interest. It could be. He's a person of interest. Usually on the news, when they find the person of interest, the next thing you hear is he was arrested. He's on trial. But at this point in time, Yonah is not yet called a criminal. Yonah is a person of interest. Why? Bishalami. The girl will reveal he knows the reason. He may be the problem. And if he is the problem, then we'll deal with him. But that's not what they were searching for. They're searching for the root cause of why they are in the sakana.
The interest on him was because
he went to sleep. He went to sleep.
How come everybody's praying and you're not?
Exactly, but still in all, I guess
he knows something.
But he made a whole fuss about it.
But it doesn't seem that they would have, that was enough, because listen, we don't know how we all know that everyone has a different way to react. Everyone reacts in crisis, and it was a crisis differently. Some people, they take possession of the situation and they deal with it. Some people are cowards; they run away, and some people they're somewhere in between. So just because Yonah went down to the bottom of the ship and went to sleep does not necessarily indicate that he is responsible. That's how he dealt with a crisis.
But he's suspect because he rushed for the ship to leave as soon as possible.
Okay. So this makes, it definitely makes, okay, but still in all this, okay, you're right. All of these things, but each one in itself is not enough to immediately declare you're guilty. You're the person that's responsible, because these things happen elsewhere. It's the combination. The combination produces the magic, the perfect storm. You're right. In hindsight, 2020. In hindsight, while you think about the terrorists, the World Trade Center, they paid cash, one way ticket. So that's a telltale sign we got a problem. Today, anyone who goes on an airplane and pays cash, a one-way ticket, that's the way it is, isn't it?
Taking a long flight with no luggage.
If you take right away, they have in place today. They don't tell you all the secrets, but that's what they say. A person goes on an airplane, one-way ticket, a long distance, and he pays cash, and there's no luggage, all of the alarms go off. And right away, they investigate. Right away, they check out who is this person, if he's suspect, they take him off the plane. They take him off the plane, or they have a marshal sit next to him and watch him the whole flight to see what this guy's up to. That's what they tell you in the conspiracy books. What goes on behind the scenes in the TSA. But here, he's a suspect. He's doing very strange things. He paid for the whole ship. We're in a rush. He's going to sleep at the bottom of the boat. You're right. But all of that is good in hindsight. But at Mishas Maisa, what do you want from me? This is how I deal with a crisis. I'm a coward. I go to sleep. I'm in a rush. So I'm a rich man. I charter my own ship. No, so you can't hold me accountable. All right. So the Malam is really off the charts. He opens up this thing very, very wide. Gives us entirely new insight. Let's take a look at Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya. We're not going to do the Gra.
It's interesting with the Malam, though. What occurred to me is that by Lech Lecha, the beginning, when he says Imrinah Chosiyot, he has a big thing on the difference between Bavur and Biglal. Because in one pasuk it has
Bavur and Biglal. So what does he say there?
So he says Imrinah Chosiyot Lamani Tavli Bavurech V'Choyso Nafshi Biglalech.
Two words.
Torah on why in one part it says Bavur and what's the difference between Bavur and Biglal.
So what does he say, the difference?
Yeah, he said one is for me, one is for you. In other words, he gets it, it's more like eager and anxious in a way, a little bit towards there. It's on behalf
interesting.
Of or because of.
Very interesting. Okay, all right.
In your list of Garolas, I'm not sure, did you list the Garol of Yom Kippur?
Oh, that's right, it's number 7 then. So you have to write this down there.
But I thought maybe because it had nothing to do with human beings, he didn't mention it, so I thought of course it was an animal. So maybe,
No. Anything
no,
there.
No,
I know.
Maybe that's why you didn't mention.
So review that. Yom Kippurim, Yonah, Eretz Yisrael, the Sanhedrin, Asar Harugei Malchus, Ochon,
and
Haman. 7. So far we have 7. 7 Garolos. Very, very fascinating. All right. So we have over here. So we learn over here this. Let's take Rabbeinu Bachya. Just a very short Rabbeinu Bachya. Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Ish El Re'eh Luchum Ve'Apil Garolos Mi She'Eimem Mispalel. Ulai huha goyrim. It's exactly what you just said, Mr. Marillis. Yonah is the suspect. Okay, right away, not a person of interest. He's not praying. Every person on the ship is, according to what we learned in one of the Midrashim, there were 70 people on the ship corresponding to the 70 nations of the world. And every nation of the world has an Avodah Zarah, has a whatever they have. And Klal Yisrael has the Ribbono Yisrael. And over here, he's not davening. Mi she'inayin mispal ulai hu ha'goyreim lon west kol ha'razois. So, vayipol ha'goral al yona kol echad mehem yotza gorola shohoya mispalel zulosi yona ben amitai. Now, what does that mean? He's saying, he seems to be saying something very, very different than what we understand. First of all, the gorolois, we're going to work backwards, was not a collective gorolois. The New York State Lottery. Okay, this was not a Powerball. This was every person privately went into his corner and he did his little magic. Okay, he took out his crystal ball, whatever he did, every individual made a goyrol and the person's, all of the individuals, the goyrolis of the individual resulted, this guy, Yonah, he's the cause. That's why it says B'lashoin Rabim. We just finished running the Malbum, Goyrolois. They did it, they New York State Lottery. They did it 100 times, and every time it came out, Yonah is the guilty party. That's not what he says, the Rabbeinu Bachya. The reason why it's written B'lashoin Rabim, they did it once, but everyone did it by himself privately. That was the way they lived in those days. Everyone was always checking themselves with masl. We learn with the base of the Nivu Zar. But who was it? Not Nevu Zaradan, the one before Nevu Zaradan, when he came to Yerushalayim, he asked a child, he shot arrows. He shot arrows that also it was there was someone before him, there was someone so I don't remember all the details, but there was someone who shot arrows, and every time he shot the arrow it went in the direction of Yerushalayim. He said Hashem wants to destroy his Beis Hamikdash, his people, and wants to wipe his hands on me. I'm not interested. You can wipe your hands on someone else. And he ran away and was Megayer. I don't remember who says that, but one of the generals of during the time of the Churban, which wherever it was. So you see from there that this was extremely common in ancient times. Anytime a person's in a difficult situation, they check themselves. They do a reality test. Instead of going for a blood test, they do a mazel test to see who is the cause, what's the reason. Every single private fellow had in his pocket a gadget to do a goral, to try to figure out what the situation is about, and everyone privately came to the conclusion Yonah is the source of the trouble.
But that would be, from our perspective, a little bit, for me, would be bothering, because they prayed to their gods.
Correct.
And their gods reinforced their belief that what?
Okay, so that's a good question. So we have to assume that there are different, you're touching upon something that is very, very deep. But we have to assume is that the goyrol is not a form of prayer. The prayer did not work. First, it says they cried out. Back in Pasukei, vayiru hamalochim vayizaku, they cried ish el elohav, and then they vayotilu haasakelim asher bonia el hayam. They threw out the kelim into the yam lehakel me'aleim in order to lighten the load. Now nothing happened. They prayed, they davened, they did a shtadlus. Okay, like you say, you have to daven, and you have to do your hishtadlus, and still nothing is going on. So now let's try something different. Let's try fate. Let's try mazel. It's a different. That's what appears to be. Now, when they did the goyrolos, like you just said, in hindsight, it's 2020. If each person came to the conclusion their goyrol indicated that Yonah was responsible, oh, now it makes sense why this fellow did not pray. There's something really wrong with him. Okay, I forgot to mention this to you. Someone actually here actually touched upon it. Okay, I didn't see this anywhere, but it's not so far-fetched to say back in Pasukei, Vayiru hamalochim, they were afraid. Vayizaku, they prayed, Ish el Elohav. And then they realized, Ein kol ve'ein oine, they became balei teshuva. They realized that their gods are not answering. No one is home. You know why no one is home? Because no one was ever home. These gods are false gods. Vayatilu esakele means they threw their avodizora into the water. Asher broni elayam lehokel me'aleyen, to lighten their spiritual burden. A person who is an oived avodah zarah, you're burdened by being loyal to your God. You have a God, so you're moilach, right? What was the most outrageous form of idolatry in ancient times? Moilach. This week's parasha. Okay, this is last week's parasha. Parasha is the whole Namash, a whole aliyah. A whole aliyah about something which is unfathomable for a person to take their child and to burn it in a fire, to pass the fire over, to give it to this idol called Moilich and to destroy their child. I mean, it's just what parent would do this? Again, you'll tell me there are different types of Moilich. Not every parent actually burnt their child. They just pass it over fire. All right, but there's no question that the ultimate form of worshipping Moilich is to actually burn a child in fire. They say about Yoshiyahu that his mother, they gave him to Moilech because he was the son of the wicked Ochaz, but his mother smeared him with salamandria, a derivative of asbestos, be fireproof. That's why he got sick later on in life. That's why he got sick.
The story of Achilles also
could be. He was dipped in fireproof material And that's why he was spared. He was spared dying. There's a whole Chazal that discusses. I believe it was Yoshiyahu. Maybe it was. Yoshiyahu was the son of Amon.
And you have this. To accept the Akedah, Avraham Akedah.
These are things which is the topic in of itself. Looking forward to Rabbi Klein. You remember that safe? We have Rabbi Klein.
Yeah.
Reuven Klein. So he's in position to put out soon. Volume 2, God versus Gods. Remember we spent some time on that? Remember that book, God versus God? So that was just the Hakdama. That was a wonderful, wonderful book. But the meat and potatoes of what he has to say is coming in volume 2. Okay, that's going to be all the, you know, the Hashkof. He just presented just more of the facts in book number 1. But book number 2 is going to be the meat and potatoes. So when that comes out, not so far ahead in the future, we'll have more of an insight into some of these things. But in any event, over here, a person who is a religious person is burdened. It's definitely true. Okay. In fact, I know I have a friend. He went to Eretz on a very, very fascinating trip. Unbelievable things that he told me on Shabbos. He went to Eretz Yisrael. He met with Bibi. He shook his hand. He was talking to him. He told me that he said to him, I want to thank you for supporting the yeshivas. That's the only thing that he said to him. He shook his hand. I want to thank you. He had an incredible visit. He went with a group of people. It's a very chashuv, very interesting collection of people. And he told me, it was a very secular. He was there as the only Orthodox Jew amongst a group of people who all share something in common. Whatever, I don't want to go into too many details. I'm not really authorized to share all the details. But he was the only religious person in this group, and he was selected to be this religious person to be part of this group. And these are all very, very influential people, very wealthy people, influential people. And they took them on some very, very left-winging tours. And they went to Tel Aviv. And the tour guide, he told me, the tour guide comes to Tel Aviv, and they were Yerushalayim, and they come to Tel Aviv, and the tour guide, he says, oh, we've left Jerusalem, and now we're in Tel Aviv. And he says, when I come to Tel Aviv, this person who is the tour guide is a completely irreligious person. It seems that his parents are religious, but he is way off the deep end. And he made a comment that when I leave Jerusalem and I come to Tel Aviv, I feel as if a burden has been lifted off my shoulders. And my friend did not like that. What exactly did he mean when he said that to the group? I feel leaving Jerusalem the burden. So I said, Prigas oil. That's what I said. Prigas oil. Okay? He feels that in Jerusalem. But on the other hand, you know, my friend, that's what he was like. He's like from the Bardichev type of people. He's always melame tzchus. Always has this knack. And he says, even though he's such a secular left, he has that sensitivity to Kedusha, and he realizes, he senses the holiness of Yerushalayim, and when he leaves Yerushalayim, he has that sensitivity. The average person doesn't have that sensitivity. When you walk around in Yerushalayim, you don't even know what's going on. So he will see, I was a nasty person, and I said, he's a pyreko, he's a pashaya, prigaso. And he says, no. He says, look at the good side. He has that religious sensitivity. I'll just tell you one other fascinating thing that going off on a tangent, but it's so amazing how this person, they went on a tour of graffiti in Tel Aviv called the Graffiti Tour. And these are all people that are totally to the left. Totally to the left. And they had there a mural of graffiti, a lot of different exhibits, of a chassid, long pais, dressed in all the malbush, embracing and kissing on the mouth a chiloni, in a way which was obviously referring to Mishkav Zohar. Okay, that was the whole purpose of this mural. And it was showing chassidim, whatever they are, you can turn it as you may, a chassid engaging in this activity with another person. And on the bottom it said, V'ohafta l'reacha kamocha. So the tour guide, who was a real lachasnik, a real, really, he says, you see this, And he said, I don't know, he told me, I don't remember what he said, some really nasty things about the religious, the Hasidim, hypocrites, or whatever, this and that. So he instantly, in front of everyone, he says, you know, that if you, look what it says on the bottom, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. If you don't love these people, then you're the hypocrite. It says, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, so what's written on the bottom is to make litzanis that this is the real v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, to even engage, to legitimize such activity. And therefore he went and he lashed out at whatever, the Hasidim. He says, but it says, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. If you don't love your fellow Jew, even if he's different than you, so you're the hypocrite. You're the hypocrite. V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. And he was stunned. He gave this tour 1,000 times. No one ever said something like that to him, to totally turn it, to turn the Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. It seems like he had a very big impact on this tour guide. At the end of the tour, he kept on doing this over and over and over again. He became his best friend, was hugging him and kissing him. So it's very interesting. Any event, when he told me that story, it was the day after we read this pasuk. And it just, in my mind, it echoed in my mind exactly these words. Vayizaku ish el Elohav. Each man cried out to his God. And guess what? No one is home. All of these 70 people from the 70 nations of the world, and they cried out to their idol, and nothing happened. The storm did not subside. What did they come to realize? They're living a life of a lie. The whole life is a lie. The gods that they're crying out to are not real gods. They realize in hindsight now that he's not here for us when we need him. This is not our God. And now they decided, you know what? Let us be choizer b'shuvu, or let us abandon this false religion. And to show that they are abandoning the religion, they took their island. What are the kalim? What kalim? Their luggage. We had a whole discussion. What's the goal of lightening the weight of the ship? What, the ship weighs 1,000 tons and you're going to go throw a couple of feathers off the ship? It's going to make a difference. You throw through pebbles off the ship. What's it? Adra, maybe it's better the ship should have some weight so it will not sink. We had the whole discussion. We don't know the facts. So it's not really for us to make cheshbonos. But what it can possibly mean is the kalim refers to their idols. And when they threw off the idols, now, asher bonia el hayam, l'hakel me'alehem, it doesn't say to make the ship lighter. It doesn't say l'hakel, it means they now are relieved. It's poyreik all, but a good prikasol, the release of living a life of a lie. Enough of this nonsense. Can you imagine the weight of a parent after they have a firstborn child? They have to go bring it to the priest and have it burnt to a crisp. Can you imagine what kind of weight, what kind of, how heavy that the thought of doing something like that weighs upon the mind of a parent? To be maver b'noyu b'toy la'moylech? What kind of crazy thing that is? Or what a heavy mind you have? Enough of this nonsense. L'hokel me'alehem. Now they all become religious. Who do they believe in? They believe in the one God, the God HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who here in this boat represents the United Nations? This boat carried the logo of the UN. Okay, it was an official UN, what is it, white and black? With those ugly letters, right? Those ugly black letters, the UN, the United Nations, NATO boat. So here we have a mini United Nations on the boat. And everyone now has become Jewish, makir that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and the one who's makir, the one who represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's fast asleep. This guy is lying on the bottom of the boat. What is going on? And you know something? This is Mamash Moshul, which is going on today. I mean, it's not. I'm saying things are not a little nitzkin, because I had a very intense conversation with him, this fellow who went there, who ate lunch by him. And we had such a great conversation about maybe what's going on in Israel. And he was there during Yom HaTzmaut. and he saw quite a bit, and he's a religious person, and he said to me something which I was also, I had the same impression, watching videos, watching clips, just scrolling through Instagram, going online, you see a celebration of the Yom HaAtzmaut, and I said to him, I grew up in a home where my parents didn't observe Yom HaAtzmaut, they didn't say Halal, but they were very interested. They were very, very happy. They were very curious. They were very appreciative. It was a certain type of chashivas, and the things that I saw online were to me very disturbing, because a lot, it's not, this is just what I only saw a little few things here and there. There was absolutely no religious element in some of the things, some of these clips of the celebration that I saw, and it was just too extreme. I wasn't used to this. I was more used to something more balanced. Okay, you don't have to be a Haredi. You don't have to even be religious. It's just like Avram Avinu. He wasn't Jewish yet. God we trust. Trump ends off every single speech. May God bless America. And if you notice, he says it with zest. He says it with God. And I always bothered me, going back already many years, I never, ever, ever heard an Israeli politician, a prime minister, not even Bibi, not even him, ever, ever say anything about God in an official speech representing Israel. Of course, he'll make a comment. If Rav Yosef, when he was Nifter, he'll go on national television and talk about the greatest Rav Yosef. He'll talk about Rav Steinman and Rav Yashav. He'll talk Hanukkah, he'll talk about Hanukkah. But when he represents Israel as to the world and talks about what's going on in the world and gives his State of the Union address, if he gives such a thing, or any of the like, when he'll talk in a public forum representing the state of Israel, zero. God does not exist. And I said, maybe I'm wrong.
Begin
was mamish the Yotzim in Aklal. I'm talking about modern time. Very.
Catholic, Dennington in the U.S.
Yeah.
Took out a
Chumash. Okay. Okay, I didn't see the clip. I heard about this. Okay, I didn't say after. So maybe things are changing. But unfortunately, even when you see something like put on a yarmulke, it's different. That's already a whole different thing. Even something like that, when I've seen in the past, they take out the Bible to show that it's our land, just as an historical document. The Bible is nothing more than just an encyclopedia. You're right, but I hope I'm wrong. But I was arguing with this person that unfortunately, it's almost as if they're ashamed. They're ashamed of God. And that's, I thought, you see some of the things that are going on in the highest levels of government, representing us, representing the State of Israel. No one's asking them that they should be, learn a Daf Gemara, or learn a Pasuk in Chumash. Don't even want it. We don't even want them to get involved. But Israel is a Jewish state. That's the problem. It's an Israeli state or a Jewish state. It's a holy land. You're in a holy place. In a holy place, you have an achrayis to be at least as religious as Avraham Avinu. Avraham had only one motto. There is a Baal Habira. There is a creator. That's it. He had nothing else to say to anyone. He didn't teach them a Daf Gemara. He didn't teach them Pasuk and Chumash. He was Avraham or Ivri, one thing. There's a Baal Habira. Not even to say we trust in him. America's already too religious for us, because America says in God we trust. Who says you have to trust God? You don't want to trust him? Don't trust him. But at least acknowledge there is a God. And if you're living in a holy land, a land that has, this is where all the action is. I hope I'm wrong. It's almost that we're embarrassed. The state is almost, when they speak to the world, the diversity you have to include everyone. Don't ruffle anyone's feathers. And because the world is a goyish world and they hate us, let's not focus on God. Let's be safe, like a shtetl mentality. The whole state of Israel is and yet when it comes to God, no. We don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers. And so here, this story that these people that we just read is mamish what's happening today. Here you have the whole world. The world is in turmoil. The world is being ripped to shreds in peace. The whole world, everyone, every nation, Vayizaku ish el Elohav. Every nation in this world is experiencing trials and tribulations. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. All of our gods and our ideologies and our isms. And the world is coming to realize, you know something? All of this is nonsense. There must be something greater than us. That's, they sense it. The world today has come to sense that there's something greater out there. And they're little by little taking their ideologies, their isms, and their whole. And what are they doing it? Vayotilu es hakelim asher bo'anil el hayom. The world is taking all of their machshavos, been wrong all along. Lohokel me'alayim, because we can't continue to maintain these beliefs. Atheism and this type of Islam is a religion. This is a love, a religion of love and tolerance when they destroy the world. Christianity is a religion. What's going on in this world? Everyone today, because we live in the global village, everyone is coming to realize this is all total, total nonsense. They're taking it and they're little by little throwing it into the yam. And they're coming to realize there really is a creator. And who is the balabas of the creator? Who is the balabas? Klal Yisrael. Yonah. The state of Israel. Yonah is the state of Israel. So Yonah, you know, you represent what we sense to be the real thing. Lead us, guide us. And where is the state of Israel? Did a prime minister ever in recent times, not Begin, that's why he was so successful, Begin. He wasn't embarrassed that there's a God. But I'm talking about the last series of prime ministers. I remember I went to Washington. We went to Washington many, many years ago. I remember my whole shul, my father's shul, two buses, went to Washington to a march in Washington. It must have been 20 years ago. And they had all the politicians. And I was really, really disappointed how secular, how totally secular this event was. They rallied all the front people to go. Even the yeshivas, some of the yeshivas went. It wasn't taboo to go to Washington. Everyone went. We go there, and they had one politician. Bibi spoke. I remember he said, then, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it behaves like a duck, it's a terrorist. Everyone started laughing hysterically. There must have been like 100,000 people. The name of God was not mentioned even once.
That's by Jewish politicians.
By Jewish, exactly.
Yeah,
Bibi, I noted, listened to his entire speech.
Are not the same.
Oh, okay, that's right. That's exactly the problem. That's exactly what's happening in this passage. I remember clearly, you go back to YouTube, you probably could find this speech. He did not mention God once. All the young Israels went. All the modern Orthodox, everyone went. And in the yeshivas, some went, some did not go. It wasn't usher to go. People went. There were a lot of from people there. And really, everyone came back. Yeah, it was very good. It was very important to show Washington, even though the truth was the reports were they couldn't care less. The whole thing was just a waste of time anyway. But it was important to go. But when the people got up, the Israeli politicians got up, zero. Zero, zero. And I think the Haredim, it was a watershed moment, at least for me. They're like, they're not really interested in us. We're not part of the picture here. It's a very secular state, and a religious person has to work within that framework. You know, you have Karas HaToiv, you have to work. But, you know, this is not America. This is the Holy Land. This is Eretz HaKodesh, Eretz Yisrael, and no one is asking anyone in Israel to be a satmeh chassid. We're just asking that if in America there's no shame in writing on a penny, in God we trust, so at least in Israel we should write, there is a God. We don't have to trust in him. We don't trust him. We have a lot of problems, right? We have Holocaust, we have Inquisition. I'm not so sure you convince the average person to trust in God. And they have over here, go into a Judaica store, they have a whole wall of faith and emunah. Why do they need so many books? Because no one's interested. You need a lot of people, not a lot of books to convince someone to have emunah. So fine, Avraham Avinu did not ask anyone to trust. His motto was, Mihu Baal Habira. Who's in charge here? Who's in charge here? Who's the Baal Habira? And you get that sense that from what I see, they're not interested. It's the story of Yonah. Yonah is the state of Israel. The nations of the world are baffled. They see what's going on. They see the Chorban. They vayizaku. No one is home. Little by little, they're coming to take the Kalim, their false ideologies, and to throw it into the Am. And who's going to now save us? The one who all along has carried the banner of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And where is he? He's fast asleep in the bottom of the boat. Yonah, wake up. Wake up, smell the coffee. We need you now. Why are you sleeping? And ultimately, Yonah, I mean, it's really the story of the Bias HaMashiach, the entire story of what we're going through now. There's definitely very powerful parallels here in this story. Okay, we have time yet. We have a few more minutes. So that's I really wanted to tell you this whole drasha last week. I just totally forgot. With the Kalim is the Avodah Zarah. Lohokel Me'aleyam, the Prikas, enough of the nonsense. Now they come to Yonah, and Yonah's sleeping. They're fuming mad. Here when we need you, you're not available for us. So Rabbeinu Bachya, he really picks up on this idea, back on page 413. Vayoymer ish el re'eyu l'chuvin apilu garolos, mi she'enay mispalel, ulai hu ha'gorim lanu es kol ha'ro ha'zois. Okay, it's a little, not exactly what I said, but it's a very powerful expression. He's saying, let's try to understand something. He seems to be saying, the Rabbeinu Bachya, the only reason why they cast Garolois was because Yonah disturbed them. If Yonah would have been on the top of the ship screaming, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, then what would they say? No! We did ours, he did his. Let the dice fall, the chips fall where they may. Whatever will be, will be. Because he knows, in other words, the Rabbeinu Bachya is addressing the same question as the Malbim. Every ship that passes through the sea and suffers turbulence, they cast garolois. My high! So the Malbim came up with an answer. Doesn't say this anywhere. And he says, well, the ship I found in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, I have an answer that only can be known through a medrash, is that the boat on the right had no trouble, the boat on the left had no trouble, and we're in trouble. So it must be something unusual, some unusual hashgacha. Rabbeinu Bachya is now working with that answer. He says they were all alone. So if they were all alone, no, this is the way life goes. You go on a ship. There's always problems. There's always a risk. That's the way it is. No one's going to give you insurance, life insurance, if you're a sailor. You're not going to get those in days. No one's going to give you. That's the way. It's sakonis nefashos. So why then do they cast lots? Kachi darka shloilam. We met our fate. We risked our lives to travel on the high seas, and this is what happens occasionally. So the zehu, what triggered the need to make the goral was now they saw this fellow Yonah was doing very strange things. Like you said before, Mr. Marillas, he went and he paid for the entire voyage, and he's now runs to the bottom of the ship, he goes to sleep. Uh-oh, this is not Stam.
Acting suspicious.
He's suspicious. So now, but we can't do anything. This is the United Nations here. We're the ultimate, you know, authority of the world. We can't just go and throw him over the ship. We have to, confirm our intelligence that indeed he is the problem. So that is why they made the Gorolois. The Gorolois was not just made Stam. They were not going to make Gorolois. It's only because Yonah was behaving in a very peculiar, in a very strange way. This is what triggered. If you see, Yonah outsmarted himself. According to the Rabbeinu Bachya, if Yonah really wanted to die, he should have behaved normally. He should go, everyone is, oh no, we're going to sink. So everyone starts, Allah, Allah, Yoshko, last rites, and this and this. So Yonah should go and say, Shema Yisrael. Behave like a normal person. Because he said, oh, Baruch Hashem, we're going down. He goes to sleep. That is what got him into trouble. And that's what aroused their curiosity to cast lots. Is it Taka true? He's the cause? Let's cast the lots to confirm. See, it's another point of difference between the Malbim and between the Rabbeinu Bachya. According to Rabbeinu Bachya, the Gorolois was not to discover who is the problem. It was a confirmation. They already reached the conclusion before they started. Yonah, you're the problem. What could we do? If we go and we kill you, we'll go down in the books of history as being cruel, being evil. Evil, evil. We had no proof, we just did this. We need confirmation. The confirmation will come in the form of the Goyrol, whole nupshat in what's taking place according to Rabbeinu Bachya. Okay, let's take a look. Let's see what we have over here. I'll just finish. I want to finish the puzzle. Tomorrow we can go further. I think we pretty much did everything that we need to do. Anything else we're missing over here? Lakutei Shas, we did already. The Sipur, not just a little Sipur. This is always very interesting. Kurel Elo Hecha, Sheyechale Pnei Elo Elo. Sheyechale Pnei Elokei Ho Elokim. Ula Yis, that's Pasuk Vav. Okay, that's really before. That's a different idea. All right, so I think we'll leave it with this. Tomorrow we're going to start Pasuk Ches. Okay, so we will move ahead with Ches tomorrow. Take a short break.